10th chapter of John's Gospel. You know, when I started living by faith, it was actually 1 month ago, 8 years ago, 2012. It was Saturday morning, July 7th, 2012. And I said, Lord, I decide to live by faith all the days of my life. And I said, both the life that now is and the life that is to come, I decide it with all my heart. And the very next thing I said was, I have no idea how to do that. I was just being honest. I said, sir, I have no idea how to do this. And it was the not knowing how that had, you know, one, that was one of the things that had really kept me held back. It was an excuse. He didn't ask me to know how. He'd already put it in the book, and he already has put his Holy Spirit within me, but I didn't have a grasp on all that. But I just said, Lord, I have no idea how to do that. Well, when I said that, just being honest, just opening up and just not trying to, you know, oh, yeah, yes, Lord, I'll figure this out on my own. You can't figure out faith. You can't figure out walking with God. You've got to be a humble and teachable student to walk with Him. Hallelujah. The humble get the grace. So, the very next thought that came, this was the first thing the Lord showed me, deciding to live by faith. Listen, and that this decision was one split second later after making the decision. I was like, oh, wait a minute. This was what He showed me. But it just seemed like this. A thought just came up. But it was the Lord showing me. He does know how. And if He knows how, that means one of us knows how. And He's with me. And I mean, thank God. Whew, I was so relieved that He knew how to do this. Because suddenly on the inside, I didn't have all the teaching and training and yet. And I have plenty more to get. I've learned just enough to know how much I don't know. But man, I was just so relieved that, whew, at least you know how. And I knew that He'd help me. Well, this is one of the first things that He began to help me with right here. This is one of the first things He began to help me with right here was this. And we're going to get into it. Okay, so John chapter 10. Look at verse 3. Make it verse 2. Jesus is speaking, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. He that comes in the front door, got it, is the shepherd of the sheep. I like this so much. I know we just read barely one verse, but I like this so much. Jesus is saying the shepherd that leads and takes care of the sheep will come at you direct. He's never vague. He never says one thing and means another. He is always, oh, thank you, Lord. Hang on, I just want to savor that for a minute. He is always straightforward with you. Amen. Now, glory to God. He said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep, ooh, hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. That means he knows who you are, where you are, what you're doing. He's got his eye on you. Not to judge you, but to lead you and take care of you. Isn't that fabulous? Wonderful. And it says, and leadeth them out. Now, what does the shepherd do? He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What does it say about the sheep? That the sheep hear his voice. I hear him, and he leads me. Say that with me at home, wherever you're at right now, even by recording, maybe in the gym, listen to this. But go ahead and just say this with me. I hear him, and he leads me. Man, you're already off and running. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, we call those things that be not as though they were. So to cancel all this, you talk about cancel culture, cancel this talk. It's just hard for me to hear him, and I just can't seem to be led. And Cut all that off. Cut it off right now. I hear him, and he leads me. Glory to God. Go ahead and say that one more time with me. I hear him, and he leads me. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that good? Man, I want to say it again. I hear him. Say it. I hear him, and he leads me. Ooh. Glory to God. Well, look at what he says here. Going on to verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow him. Follow him. This life in God, this life with God, that's a better way to say it. This life with God. What was the way that God spoke to Abraham as our prototype? The prototype covenant friendship. He said, walk before me and be all in all the time. Be wholehearted. Come with me with all your heart. Don't straddle the fence and be like, yeah, I'm kind of in and kind of out. No. Just come on and go whole hog with me. And walk before me, meaning walk with me. Walk in front of me, in my sight and in my care, and go where I go. Look at this. In this life with God, by our Lord Jesus, we follow him. He already knows where to go. Hallelujah. He already knows what to do. And listen, he's not leading us into some place. We go through. We'll look at the scripture later on this morning. But we go through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord's not leading us into to stay there. Even if it's for a moment. Paul said this, our light affliction, it's but for a moment. It's just a sliver of time. Do y'all get that? Hallelujah. But we're walking, we're moving, we're going forward. We are progressing through our life with a person. And it's Jesus in our best friend and Heavenly Father. Now, how do we go forward in this life? We have to just kind of figure it out as we go. Well, we just never can know. No. That's ignorant religious talk. He says here, we follow him. So that's the title of our message this morning. That's the title, that's the whole subject of this message this morning to you from the Holy Spirit, is following him. Don't you want to know how to do that? I do. I want to do it even better. I want to get even better at it. I want to learn even more. I come clean with the Lord right now that come clean. I don't need to. I'm already clean. I want to be open and transparent before. I'm like, Lord, I assume nothing. And I take a position of humility before you. I assume that I know nothing. Anything I have learned, you've taught me, I'm wide open. I'm your blank page. I'm your student. Here I am, Lord, take me. I follow you. Listen, this is a decision. Deciding to follow him. Well, I'm already born again. Don't I follow him? Not necessarily. You could be following a lot of other things. Well, follow other things like what? The whims of our flesh. I hadn't planned to go here and read this, but I'll just throw this into the mix here. We could be following exactly what the Bible says that we used to follow before we were born again. It says here, we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh. And the desires, cravings, appetites of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. It says in verse 2, the previous verse, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. The world system is on a path to destruction. And they do whatever they feel like doing. And they say whatever they feel like saying. And woe unto you if you get in their way. And it's going according to Satan's influence. And it says how he influenced us was the pressure applied to our flesh and our mind. So what are we following? Listen, if you just wake up throughout your day and you just do whatever you feel like doing and say whatever you feel like saying, I'm mad. I'm going to let them know. Then you're following mad. You're following how you feel. Now, we don't follow that. That's so unsafe. There's no success in that. There's nothing good in that. There's only destruction. No, this blood covenant right here, this blood covenant friendship, we follow him. Remember God's first words to Abraham, come out from your father's house. Leave it. Leave it all behind. Leave the course of this world behind and go on to a land, now listen, that I will show you. Think about that. We are walking according to him showing us. Have you ever had somebody visit, or even maybe one of your kids was old enough to appreciate something, and you're going to take him on a little sightseeing and maybe go down memory lane, and you take him to maybe your hometown and you show him where you grew up and you show him, this is where I did this and this is where my parents took me here and this and that and that's where I went to school, or you take your kids to one of your favorite cities and, you know, this is the Natural History Museum and this over here is this museum and over here and this and that. You play tour guide. God knows everything and he has everything. He's planned things in his heart for you and I from before the foundation of the world. And he wants to show them to us. How do I have that? By following him. That's where we start. By following him. Hallelujah. So, look at this. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Look at this. I'm reading to you a verse that we haven't read yet. So I quoted it to you. Look at this in verse 26. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. Okay, so now we know who his sheep are. The sheep are those that believe on him. He said in the sixth chapter of this Gospel of John, he said, those that believe have. He that believeth on me hath eternal life. So this eternal life in God, this life that we live on earth as he lives it in heaven. Isn't that part of the prayer, the Lord's prayer? That will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, what's his will? That we live here like he lives there. My little children, what did he say in 3 John? Talking about his will. I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. And he says, I have no greater joy that my children walk in the truth. We are living here on earth as he lives it there in heaven. Isn't that awesome? So, he says in verse 27, so my sheep, my believers, because those that believe are his sheep, my believers, those that have believed on me, you have this life. So how do we begin to live this life? They hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So now let's establish this right here, because we're not assuming anybody knows anything about this. I don't care how salty you are in this and how long you've been in it. Salty meaning that you're experienced and you have some, you know, your uniform is rigorously starched and faded from, you know, experience and use. We don't want to assume anybody knows anything. We want to actually act like you've never heard this before. Think about it. As his sheep, his believer, you've believed that Jesus is real and that God has raised him from the dead, and you have declared with your mouth once and for all, he is my boss, my Lord, and my very best friend. And I've accepted his friendship. Hallelujah. He says right here, you are wired to hear his voice. You possess the God-given ability to hear his voice. So decide you believe that right now. Lord, I decide I believe with all my heart. Put your hand on the Bible, right, when you make that decision. Sir, you say, my sheep hear my voice. I decide I believe you all the days of my life. I am your sheep. I believe on you. Hallelujah. And I hear your voice. Come on, say that with me. I decide with all my heart. Put your hand on the Bible when you say it. I decide with all my heart, all the days of my life, I am your sheep, and I hear your voice. Hallelujah. It says, and they follow me, which means this, whatever he says to do, that's what I'm going to do. Wherever he says to go, that's where I'm going to go. But think about it. I was starting to say this earlier, but I went on a different trail. He's only going to lead you great places. Sometimes, you know, think about this. Your parents might lead you to the Lowe's or the Home Depot or the Walmart. You may have to walk around and, you know, there may be some physical effort involved as far as like going somewhere, getting a job done. There may be some sweat on your brow. And sometimes it isn't always comfortable or fun because there's a job to do. No biggie. No big whoop. But the end, there's always reward. Think about it. You have somebody that you trust. And you delegate a responsibility to, and you say, listen, partner, I need a favor. And this is not going to be easy. But I'll tell you right now, you help me get through this, and we are going to party down afterwards. We are going to celebrate. It's going to be wonderful, but it's going to be some hard work. Well, God's not any different. He's saying, listen, kid, sometimes it's not always going to be fun for the flesh. But we are going to party hardy afterward. There's going to be celebration both here, now, and in the life that is to come. Listen, we are going to party down with our best friend and celebrate every victory and every success. Hallelujah. All right. Now, where do we pay attention to him communicating with us, to follow his leading, to be led by him, to follow him personally. What we have to have, God has to have done something somewhere within our being. Like he said here, if you're my believer, you hear my voice. Where are we hearing it? We can't overlook this. Where are we getting the information? Thank you, Lord. That's so wonderful. Where the broadcast coming from? We know it's coming from him, but where is it going? What's picking up the transmission? Y'all get that? Let's look. Go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs 20. Got to get there myself. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, there's an excitement about all this. I can tell it in my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Proverbs 20:27. Let's look. The spirit of man is the candle, the lamp. We would say in modern day English, the flashlight. Man, I've got some flashlights that are pretty powerful, 900,000 lumens. There's some that, and they don't just have, they're not all the same. Sometimes they throw the beam a long way. Sometimes they don't throw as far, but they spread the beam wider. It's called the hot spot. Of the Corona effect, not the virus. It's an illumination term. Some of them don't throw very far, but they illuminate brighter. You can, especially if you're indoors, you can point that light at the ceiling, and it'll illuminate a whole room like it's almost daylight. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing technology. So we'd say it's the lantern, it's the light, it's the illumination tool of the Lord. Do y'all get that? Searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, listen to this translation. This is the Passion Translation. The Spirit God breathed into man is like a living lamp, a shining light, searching into the innermost chamber of our being. The Young's Literal says this, the breath of man is a lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inner parts of the heart. So, the spirit of man is the same thing as the heart of man. Not the flesh pump, not the bum, 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 bum. Your core, your being. We call that the heart. So when we say, you know, my heart checked me, it's not the fleshy heart pump, blood pump. It's your spirit being, your heart, your core. Hallelujah. The New Living says this, the Lord's light penetrates the human spirit. Ooh. Exposing every hidden motive. Now let's go to one of my favorites. The easy to read translation says, your spirit is like a lamp to the Lord. He is able to see into your innermost parts. The Amplified Bible says, the spirit of man, that factor in the human personality which proceeds immediately from God. It's the Amplified Bible. It's going to amplify it. Is the lamp of the Lord. Our spirit is where God transmits. Remember, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, God is light. So where's light going to transmit to? Hallelujah. God's light is his transmission. And everything in that beam transmission beams to our heart, like, because he's in there. He already dwells in us. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's okay. Let's go look at this in the 14th chapter of John. We were just there. Go back. John, the 14th chapter. God is transmitting to our spirit. Hallelujah. John, the 14th chapter. Isn't this good? John the 14th chapter, verse 10. Jesus speaking again, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but look at this. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. God dwelled in him. And that's where he picked up what he heard from his Father. That's where he got and saw and knew and was directed. Do you remember how Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Mark, when that woman came and grabbed the hem of his garment, and it said that power went out of him, says, and he knew in himself. Ooh. You'll pick up on that again and again throughout all the gospel accounts. He would know things in himself, and he would perceive things in himself. And does that just mean he was just the Son of God and that's the way he's made? Yeah, it's the way he's made. And it's now the way you and I are made. We're made in his likeness and image. Recreated in the image and likeness of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Which means we hear like he hears. We hear where he hears, in our spirit, in our heart. God transmits from his heart to our heart. And it doesn't have to come across the expanse of the universe. It transmits. He's within our spirit. His spirit is merged and fills our spirit. It doesn't have to go very far. Amen. We're going to get to some other cool stuff right here, right now. John 14, same chapter. Look in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another leader. I like this word, another helper. What's Jesus saying? I'm going to send somebody who's going to pick up where I left off. He's going to take over my personal role with you on the earth. Jesus wasn't limited in being their comforter. He was a great comforter. He began that ministry. He was limited in that he could only be in one place at one time. Now there's someone who does the exact same role in the exact same way that he did it on the earth, but to each one of us personally. You and I don't have to be in Jerusalem, part of the 12 or the 100 or the 70. You and I can be wherever he wants us to be. What was it like, sometimes people say, to have walked with Jesus on the earth? Exactly the same way it is to walk with the Holy Spirit now and to follow him. Hallelujah. So, he says here, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, just like me, that he may abide with you forever. He'll live with you. He'll take the seat of honor in your heart. And listen, you have to give it to him. You have to give it to him. You have to welcome him in and believe you receive him. But when you're born again, he's there. But if you'll go ahead and on purpose decide, Holy Spirit, you have the seat of honor in my life. You take the best chair. You abide with me forever. I'm not going to stick you in the nasty, you know, chicken coop. And I'm not going to put you in the kids' room on a rollaway cot. You get the good chair. You get the master bedroom. Ooh. You get the big suite in the house. Hallelujah. And I follow you. Amen. This is a good place to put this in here. Hold your finger here because we're going to come back and look at a couple more verses right in this section of the scripture. Revelation chapter 3. One of my favorite portions of scripture about being led and following the Lord and following his Spirit. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I correct and train. Be zealous, therefore. Oh, glory to God. I decide I'm zealous. And repent or change. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Didn't that sound like John chapter 10? The shepherd comes in by the door. What's the door? Our attention. Our heart. Our access. And he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. That means to give him our attention. He said, I will come in with him and will sup with him and he with me. Isn't that marvelous? He wants to do that with you. Well, how does he do that? Verse 22, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. So where does the Holy Spirit abide? In our spirit. Look at this in verse 26 of this same chapter, of John 14. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Where does he do this? Not in our head. Not in our bodies. In the spirit of man. In our spirit. In our heart. So where then do we put our focus? Is it in our thoughts? Is it in our bodies? Is it on the outside? Is it in the news? Do we have to use ministers, men and women, like an oracle? And what's the Holy Spirit saying? Or is it somewhere else that we can look to closer to home? We look at, when I say look, we focus on, we draw our attention to our spirit. Why? Because that's where he is. Amen. If I want to know where my cousin Joe, Actually, I've got a very good friend named Joe. I got a couple of very good friends. The one particular I'm thinking of right now, I got a very good friend named Joe. If I want to hear what Joe's saying, what am I going to do? I'm going to text him. I'm going to call him. I'm going to put my attention on Joe. Well, I'm not going to send a message to Joe, and he's in Oklahoma, and by calling an Alaska zip code. I'm going to look to where Joe's at. Our comforter abides with us forever. It's just comforting to me to say that and hear that out loud. Our comforter abides with us for our helper, our teacher, our guide. So we look to where he is. We look in our spirit. Look in verse 13 of the 16th chapter. Just flip a page or two. And it says this, howbeit. Oh, okay, you want me to back up a minute. Let's go back to verse 7 and kind of see this section in context here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it's good that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Jesus said, it's better that I go, it's good that I go, because then you can have the Comforter. Think about that. Think about what he's saying. You can now begin to live like you've seen me live these years past, because I've been living with a person. Hallelujah. You're going to now enjoy the lifestyle that I've enjoyed. He said, if I depart, I'll send him to you. Oh, I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit. He said, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Reprove means to convict, to convince, and to persuade. Hallelujah. Now, of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, verse, that's 9, 10, 11. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't take it all right now. You mean you guys are running on the ragged edge of tilt, just can't take anymore. But I got a lot more I want to say to you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Look at this, what this person in our spirit does. The Holy Spirit in our spirit guides us into all reality. And whatever he hears Jesus say is what he says to us. He is the utmost of reliable. He never puts his own two cents in where you're not sure. He said, no, if you hear me say it, if you hear the Holy Spirit say it, it's because he heard me say it. Whew, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. He's a person. He's the best friend you could ever have. He's God on the earth. He's the very Spirit of our very best friend. And he's here right now. And he's on the inside of you and me. Now, glory to God. I want to just draw your attention to something about this following the master. I got a whole lot more to go. I don't think we're going to be able to get through it all today, but I'll give it my best. Hallelujah. In the same book of John, go over to John 21. John 21, pardon me while I get a little chapstick. Thank you, Lord. John 21, oops, I'm in Acts. Okay, verse 19, this spake he, now let me set the scene. Jesus is meeting, he's having a catfish fry. Hey, listen, man. Don't you know Jesus made some good fish? Whew, glory to God. It's probably the best fish and bread they ever had. Like, man, this is just really good. He was anointed. Oh, thank you, Lord. But he's sitting there giving some final instructions to Peter and to John. He's given Peter three opportunities to profess in front of his in front of his brethren. Are you devoted to me? Are you committed to me? He said, Lord, you know I am. Asked him three times, and the last one he said, Lord, well, you know if I am. You tell me, am I? He said, feed my sheep. Three times he gave him the same command, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep and my lambs. Feed my believers and feed my young ones. What a command. So they're sitting around the campfire. And Jesus foretells Peter how he's going to die. It's going to die, we find out later, just like Jesus did. Going to be crucified. And it said in verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, then Jesus, now look at this, what he does. Turns about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He's talking about John, the disciple who actually wrote this gospel account. So he takes his attention off of Jesus and he looks at somebody else and says, he's specifying in verse 20 about, you know, because it was John who said, Lord, who is it that betrays you? Verse 21, Peter sees him, talking about John, and says unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? What about him? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he remain alive till I come back, what is that to you? Let's think about it in everyday Western English. He's saying, Peter, what's it to you? That is none of your business. It wasn't necessarily, it wasn't only a reprimand. It was to get his attention pushed back over onto the right lane. Don't pay attention to how I lead him. He says to him, finishing the verse out, look at right here. Follow thou me. He's showing us that what we get our attention on will lead us, either a lot or a little. Limit the news in your life. Limit natural things in your life. They'll begin to influence and guide you. I'm saying that to myself as much as to anybody. Listen, if I point one finger at you, I got three pointing back at me. What's it to us how the world system is going? Why should we panic about how this is going or this election or this influence? What's that to us? I follow him. Sure, it helps to have a certain kind of president in office. It helps helps the gospel get out with the least amount of intrusion. I follow Jesus. Listen, we've never even seen one president even approach the level of bad and difficult that they had under Caesar and under Herod. Whew. And God still got the gospel. God had this Bible written under some of the worst political leadership in the history of the world. We can get this gospel out and stop complaining so much about politics and stop being so daggone distracted by it. No, what's that to us? Yeah, we vote and pray and do our part and lift up kings and leaders and all those in authority, just like the Holy Spirit through Paul told us to. But we follow him. We follow Jesus. And we follow him by looking to the Holy Spirit within our spirit. Now, go over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Glory to God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let's look at this in some other translations real quick. I just kind of sensed the Lord. Okay, I'll use this as an example. When I say, what do you mean, preacher, sense the Lord? Physically, mentally, I could just see, pick up and perceive down in here, in my spirit, that it was good to go over to the book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 14, and read some different translations of this scripture. It just seemed like that's what he wanted. Now, he's helped me practice this day in and day out in my own life for 8 years now. So this is what we'll do. Because it came up, and it seemed good. It had a good, I'm going to use this term, it had a good vibe about it. Like, it wasn't just a thought that was like, well, it could be a thought, but it came out of here. I'm like, ooh, that just seems good. Now, the true children of God, this is so good. This is the easy-to-read translation. This may be the best one yet. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Ooh! The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Oh, hallelujah. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The Amplified Bible says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You could say it like this. The ones who are taking their place as his sons, as his children, let him lead them. Notice let. He's not going to take you by the back of the neck and say, boy, I'm going to lead you. That's how the devil does things, by force. God's saying, come on if you want. Come on and come with me. I'm inviting you, but I'm not going to make you. Come on, let's go. Can you see that? Praise God. Let's see if there's any other good ones here. Yeah, they're pretty much saying the, I think that easy to read. That easy to read was, woo! Oh, I like this. The Passion Translation says, when he says sons of God, notice he doesn't say just children. He's using a descriptor implying maturity. The Passion Translation says, the mature children of God are those who are, ooh, this is so good, moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't that good? Now, the impulses. You could take it like this, the nonverbal communications, the leadings, the signals. I was talking with a friend of mine, and he is a retired commando. And listen, commandos can't be carrying on, you know, long-winded conversations under, you know, in the moment, in the heat of the moment. They have to use, sometimes they'll use short, yes, no, affirmative, roger, copy, moving. You know, they have to be brief, called brevity. They have to have brevity on the radio. But a lot of times they're using nonverbal communications, hand signals, a squeeze on the shoulder to move forward when they're all lined up in a structure or in a building. You get to a corner and you'll wait for your guys to catch up. And they'll give you a signal, a squeeze on the shoulder, a tap on the back of your body arm is something that they've worked out. They know what it means. Thumbs up, thumbs down, can't see. They're using gestures. They're using nonverbal communication. So, speaking actually with this same friend, he was talking about, we were just addressing, using it as an illustration, taking a knee at the corner of a, you know, before moving forward. And I said, you know, that's really actually the way the Holy Spirit leads us a lot. Notice, not the only way. He's a person. He's got so many ways to communicate with you. But he's also very, very efficient. Hallelujah. And his preference is to just lead you by these impulses, these nonverbal transmissions. A thumbs up. Thumbs down. A check or an impulse of a stop. Or an impulse of a, yeah, go. Do that. Do this. Just like I had a moment ago. It just, yeah, that a scripture came up from my inner being to my mind. And it seemed really good. And that good translated as, this is what he wanted to include. And just given that split second bit of attention, I was like, yeah, that's what you want. I recognized it. And by doing that, it helped amplify and help, you know, make this message that much better. So look at this in the 16th verse. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now notice, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Whew. Now, not only is this how a major way, actually, I'll tell you this, I'll let you in on the secret. This is his primary way. This is leading number 1A. This is his primary way he leads all of his children, is by this inward witness. Now notice where it is. Notice where it is. With our spirit. Meaning it's not with the mind. The mind can pick up on it if your mind will get quiet. This is why we spend time meditating on the Word of God. What do you mean meditating on the Word of God? Taking scriptures, things that we have meant something to us, things that even these very ones, sitting there and thinking about, man, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I can't tell you how many times when I first decided to start living by faith and I didn't know what to do. Because listen, this Bible's a big book and there's a lot of resources out there to read from and to follow. There's hundreds of, if not thousands of books on faith and audio message series and videos on the internet. Where do you start? So I had just a witness. I would open to this very verse, Romans 8:14, and I'd read it, and I'd think about it. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Whew, you're leading me. You're leading me. Meaning you're out in front, and I'm following you. But you've got me by the hand. And I'd see it in my mind's eye like a mountain guide leading me down paths only he knows about. And because we're in the mountains for safety, there's a tether cord where I'm attached to him via, you know, a secure rope with carabiners. So he's with me and I'm attached to him, but he's in front of me, and I just follow where he goes. He may need to give me ooh, look at that mountain lake over there. I'm about to walk off the side of the mountain, and he gives me a gentle tug. Oh, yeah, thank you, sir. Following you. Got it. Moving. He's giving me impulses. So I begin to think about that, and then a thought may come through, right to left. Whew, I need to read this book. But it just didn't have the right... It didn't have the right witness. It didn't have the right signal. It didn't have the right vibe with it. And sometimes it'd be like three or four thoughts would come through. And then all of a sudden, still listening and believing that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Father, thank you. I am led by the Spirit. I am led by... Listen, you will have what you say. I knew. Just thank God he helped me this much. I just knew... It was not going to help me to say, hey, it's just hard to be led by the Spirit. That was going to make it worse. So I'd say, Father, thank you. I'm led by the Spirit. Father, thank you. Yes. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, 1 John chapter 3 says that now you've made me the son of God. So thank you. You're leading me. And then out of my heart, an idea would come up. listen to this message. Go to this chapter in this book. Read this chapter of Scripture. Ooh. Well, that's got a whole different flavor to it. That came out of here. And I'd sit there and just kind of savor it for a moment. Like, what about that? Yeah. And the more I thought about it, the better it got. And the better it got, the more excited about it I got. Hey, guess what? That's how he's led me about ministry decisions. That's how he's led me about steps to take in my personal life, in business. That's how he's led me about nearly every single message he's ever given me, which is, I think we're closing in on 500 messages. God's good. He leads us by his Spirit. Isn't that good news? Now, let's real quick run over to 1 John chapter 4. Yeah. You know what? We are going to be able to get through all this today. Praise God. Listen, you're at home, sitting on your couch, or in your car, or at the gym, or on the treadmill. Go ahead and enjoy this with me a little bit more. You don't need to be somewhere, do you? This is where you need to be. Hallelujah. So we might go over just a couple minutes, but we won't keep you long. But it's good to hear the whole thing. It's good to stay put with the Lord. Like Mary did. She sat at his feet and heard his word. Wasn't going nowhere. 1 John chapter 4. Look at this. Ye are of God. Oh, that does me so much good just to hear that. Little children. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Talking about the Holy Spirit, the greater one. Where is he? He's in you. So where do we look for these witnesses, impulses, nonverbal communications? We look within. It'll come up and be broadcast to our mind, but it's down in our spirit. Amen. So we put our attention on our spirit. When I say look, you can't see it with your physical eyesight, but you can see it with your attention if you focus on your spirit. Now, I get that this will take practice, but you can start practicing right away. Listen, don't take a big life choice first thing. Start with, after you have a nap this afternoon, wake up and just ask the Lord, Father, what would you have me look at right now? What would you have me, what do you want to do? And then just wait. But in your attention, put it down in here. If you have to, man, I did this for years and still do it time to time. I would take both my hands and just put it on my chest right here just to help me pay attention, listen, and just wait. There is something about the gentle Holy Spirit that is so helpful to practice being quiet. In fact, Paul tells in one of his letters, study to be quiet. Why is that? Because when you're quiet, you can listen. You can hear. You can hear what he's saying. Hallelujah. So, let's look at something now. The Bible actually gives us some examples of this. Look in Luke chapter 1. Glory to God. Oh, man, I hope you've had as good a time hearing this. Listen, that's my goal. That's my mission and purpose in ministry, is to give people actionable, useful, simple information that they can execute and act on. And I so appreciate ministers who really begin to explore, you know, the depths and deep things of God. And that's wonderful. And I really enjoy that. When it comes time to communicate with people, man, I just feel so compelled every time I speak to keep it simple and to stick with the basics. It's the ABCs that win fights. It's the simple things. Simplicity wins fights. Simplicity. Thank you, Lord. I just heard this again. This came up out of here. It gives you progress. It gives you progress. Amen. And let me tell you this. I remember those first steps of being led by His Spirit. This after deciding to live by faith. So satisfying. Because you finally are being led for yourself. I remember what the men in that town where Jesus had spoke to that Syrophoenician woman and said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you're right. you've had five husbands and one you're with now isn't your husband. Well, she went and got the men and they all came out and heard him, and they compelled Jesus to stay. They put Jesus up for 3 days while he taught them. Don't you know he shared some good stuff with them? Whew, glory to God. Well, at the end, the men in the town say to the woman, because remember she had said, come see a man who's told me all that I've ever did. They said, we now believe him, but not for what you say, but we have heard him for ourselves. When you are perceiving the witness of the Holy Spirit, when you pick up on how he's leading you, meaning I now know what the next thing to do is, and you do it, you are following him. Let that sink in. That is following him. You mean when he just wants me to sit and be quiet, I'm following him? Yes. Yes. Following him isn't every day burning yourself out, accosting people on the street, and talking about Jesus. When he leads you to do that, it's blessed. But I've been just as led, and not I've done both. He's led me to go to Walmart late in the night and walk through the store and look for one woman who was stocking shelves to pray over her for her. She had a really hurt hand. And we prayed over her and she was healed. Yeah, it sure does feel better. And then I got my stuff and went home. But I've also been just as led. What do you want me to do? Just sit down, be quiet, and listen to him. And wait. Be in his presence. Hallelujah. I say be in his presence. You could wonder what I mean by that. You mean like I'm sitting in some cloud or like the light shines down in the room? I mean, just sit there and be around him. Believe that he's close and just sit there and be quiet. Amen. So, stand by. All right. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Luke is the writer of this gospel account. He gives us the reason why he wrote this account right here. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, or student, believer. Why did he do it? Verse 3, first three words. It seemed good. Does that mean like, yeah, it just seemed like a good idea? Not necessarily. It seemed good to his spirit. He had an idea. Man, I should write all this down. I should really write. Man, and you know what, guys? The more I, that idea won't go away. The Holy Spirit, when he gives us a witness, it's also like a broadcast signal, like a beacon. It'll just keep transmitting until you respond to it. Hallelujah. And so finally he just goes, you know what, guys, listen, I got to do this. The more I think about it, the better it seems. And it just seems so good, I got to write this down. So guess what he started doing? He wrote it down. Hallelujah. Go over to Acts 15. 15th chapter of Acts. And you know what? We are getting to the end. We are getting right there, man. Acts the 15th chapter. Thank God. Verse 25. Actually, go back to verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. This is the letter from James and from the church at Jerusalem to the Gentile churches. Some have gone out from among us and troubled you or given you trouble, subverting your soul, saying you must be adding rules to what we didn't tell you. That's what he's saying. Like, some have gone out from our number and tried to add things to you and tell you to do things that we didn't say. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul. It seemed good. This is a major undertaking, and they're undertaking it because they had a witness. Not of us saith the Lord, not of audible voice. They had a witness. They had a green light, a thumbs up. They knew in themselves and perceived, yeah, this is the right way to go. Let's send these guys, and I can sense in my heart. We could say it like this. It seems good. There's a witness. Yeah, that's good. That's the right way to go, to send these guys out. Now, a little side note about Barnabas, or in the Greek it's actually pronounced Varnavas. I didn't get that because I'm a Greek scholar. I got it from a video game about Greece. It's true. Barnabas. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, you know, Master, what should I do that I should inherit an eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments, you know, love your neighbor as yourself and don't covet, so on and so forth, honor your mother and father. He said, yes, sir, I've kept all these from my youth. And Jesus, it says that Jesus, perceiving him, or looking on him, loved him. And he said, one thing you lack, go and sell all you have, give to the poor, and come, follow me. It says he went away grieved at that saying. What was going on there? He was being summoned, an invitation to come and be led by Jesus, and then eventually have a spot in the apostle ministry continued on by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't take it. Now, Barnabas is a critical character all throughout the gospel, the book of Acts account. He's called the son of consolation. Scholars say he is that rich young ruler who came and so he came and there's actually a passage where Barnabas comes and lays money down at the feet of the disciples. He finally gave that offering and came and followed the Lord. Listen, you may have had a witness days and years gone by. Maybe you knew that God was getting over to you something that he wanted you to do. And you may have missed it. Not followed it. But it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit still isn't leading you. Sure, times have changed and some of the logistics may have changed, but God's still leading. He's still got a plan. You can get in on it. It's not too late. Barnabas proved it. You can still come and get in on what the Lord's doing. You can still come follow him. Hallelujah. You can still come be a part of this. You can say, Holy Spirit, I have blown off your witness and your leading in times past, but I'm listening now. Show me. Teach me. I'm listening. I'll be quiet and I'll follow you. It takes a decision, but it's a decision that you can begin to practice right now, today. Lord, what are you saying? I'm following you. Hallelujah. Let's start wrapping this up. And in this same 15th chapter, verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. How does it seem good to the Holy Ghost and to us? He's saying it's good, and we know it's good. Our spirit is bearing witness with us by the Holy Spirit. Our heart's saying, yeah. And the Holy Spirit's saying, yeah. I like to use this example a lot. That the you're at a jewelry store, and man, you've got a dear friend who is a subject matter expert in precious stones and in jewelry and precious metals, and just a world class jeweler, and he's helping you to go pick. He's in town. He's going to help you go pick out something for your significant or your spouse. And your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, watch, whatever it may be. And you're looking through the store, and instead of carrying on a conversation and giving all your business away to the salespeople, he's just kind of standing there with you, and you kind of just point to a ring, bracelet, watch, and he just kind of looks at you with a blank face, nothing. This is a good place to put this in here. Dr. Kenneth Hagin taught me this years ago. Not like it was in private teaching me, but it was through his material. I go by as much what the Lord doesn't say as what he does say. That doesn't mean if God doesn't speak, he's giving his permission. I don't need a witness to not do something. I need a witness to do something. Otherwise, I'm just fine right now where I'm at. Does that make sense to everybody? Hallelujah. I don't need a, yay, my son, don't do that. I need a yay witness to actually do it. I'm just fine. I'm content. And contentment will help you be led. I decide I'm content. Lord, I'm fine. I'm not trying to get my own way. I'm following you. Do y'all see that? So I look at this watch. Or this ring, or whatever it may be, this jewel, this bracelet. And my friends just, no thumbs up, no thumbs down, blank expression. What do I take from that? Move on. That's not the right one. Okay, got it. Understood. Thank you, sir. And we go on through a couple more, and just nothing. Blank space. And I point to a ring, and all of a sudden he goes like this. There's a good vibe there. He likes it. He's got a witness. Ooh, that is a nice ring. Look at that. I bet my dear lovely wife would just really be thrilled by it. I look at him just to check again. And look at him. He just goes, oh, yeah. Well, say no more. I don't need him to go, yay, my friend, verily I'd say unto thee, that's a this cut with a this clarity, and this is this. He just knows by looking at it. That's all I need to know. That's the good one. That's the right one. It seems good to him and to me. Do you see what we're going? I'm waiting for that seems good. That idea came up to look at a chapter in a book as the Lord was leading me to study on faith and begin to walk by faith and to train me in these things. I'm like, man, that four other thoughts had nothing with it. Just nothing. Just blech. But that one thought, that had the that had the goody-goody stuff with it. Hallelujah. Now, over in Acts chapter 9, Paul has just been born again. And he says, thank you, Lord. Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for me to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. Well, he's now born again. He's confessed him as Lord. Lord, Master. He didn't know who he was before, but now he knows. He said, Lord, you are Lord. Look at his very next statement. I have got so much mileage out of this question. What will you have me to do? And the Lord said. You could write it for you and I just as easily. And the Lord led. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then wait. Acts the 13th chapter, so in the first couple of verses, it says, as they ministered, there was gathered unto... In this gathering, there were certain prophets and teachers, beginning with Barnabas and ending with Saul, before his name was changed by the Lord to Paul. He says, the writer, Luke himself again, says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they put their bodies in check by let's just not focus on food. And let's just take, when they say ministered to the Lord, that's their own biblical dialect, you could say. But really, they put their attention and their worship and their prayer on the Lord. But here's the point. They waited and took time. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said unto them. They were waiting. And they were listening. The Lord speaks to Paul. The Lord leads Paul after Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he waited and listened. And you and I can do the same thing. That's how I practice. That's how I practice in the very first. And that's how the Lord's helped me, you know, get better at this, was by asking and then waiting. And I also decided that when it showed up, when I knew what to do, then to do it. Oh, and then that's the rewards are so great. This works for which real estate property to buy, which school for my kids to attend. This works for every step, phase, and decision in life is following Him. Following Him. Particularly following Him in our personal development. Lord, what do you want me to do? This is a big book. There's a lot of subject matter in here. What do you want me paying attention to? And then wait. We're a sheep. We're a believer. He leads us. He knows what we need to eat. He knows what we need to drink. Amen. Let's end this here together. We're at an hour and 20 minutes. That's plenty for today. But let's go over to end it with this verse, with these verses. Go to Psalms 23. Now you'll have an appreciation for these verses. Psalms, the 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not and shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. How does he do that? This next verse, he leads me by the still waters. The Lord knows where the food is. He knows where your nourishment is. He knows where he wants you to put your attention today in his book and in his covenant and in his material he has in the earth through his ministers. He knows. He knows. So you listen and you follow your shepherd. Lord, you're my shepherd. I follow you. I'm listening. Where do you want me? What do you want me looking at? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. You could say this. He leads me by his Spirit beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Think about what he leads you to as you read it and enjoy it and listen to it and savor it and be in on it. It's going to affect your mind. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, of being best friends with him for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? He restores my soul. We just read that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now notice, where he's leading me, I've walked through some dark places, but we're on our way to somewhere. Oh yeah, this life on earth is the valley of the shadow of death. This is as bad as it's ever going to get. These times of in the natural that we're in right now in history, it isn't so hot. But we walk through it. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're walking through it. He's leading us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he knows where the still waters are and where the green pastures are. Isn't that good? He knows and will take you to all the good places along the way, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For thou art with me. Who? My shepherd leading me by his Spirit. Your rod and your staff, your shepherd weapons, I'm comforted. You're with me. You're taking care of me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. All this is from our shepherd leading us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Surely, goodness, your prosperity and mercy, your covenant love. Oh, you and I have this right now. We have his love and we have his prosperity. His commitment is eternal. Oh, thank you, Lord. I give you praise, sir. They follow me. They stick with me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we're led and we follow his leading, his goodness and his mercy are at work in our life. Our cup runs over. Our mind, our soul is restored and thinks better and sees better and is clear. And we're enjoying still waters and green pastures. Because we're led by his Spirit. We are following him. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? We hear his voice and we follow him. He leads us by his Spirit in our spirit. And we follow him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word, grow with you, receive your truth, follow you and flow with you, and move forward in our life by the leading of the Holy Spirit. At home, everybody listening in, wherever you are, in your car, at the gym, on the treadmill, say this with me. I am a believer. Jesus is my boss. He is my Lord. I am led by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in me and abides with me forever. I'm led by the Spirit. I follow the impulses of the Spirit. His witness, I recognize it, and I follow it. I'm led by the Spirit. Jesus is my shepherd, and I follow him. I fear not, for he's with me. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death and leads me beside still waters and into green pastures. He loves me and I love him. I hear what the Spirit is saying. I know his voice and I follow him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, don't just say that one time with us. Go ahead and say that again and again all throughout the day. Say that in the face of any doubt that may come up in your mind. It's just hard. No, it's not. I hear his voice. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I follow you. Amen. All right. Praise God.